It's Rihanna saying, "You the one." You're tuned into Radio Life and Style. My name's Leah G, and you are just in time for another Wednesday edition of Wealth Wednesdays. And in studio, I'm joined by Shannon Clark, as always, carrying on the conversation today and revisiting a few basics that we have covered in our first few episodes. But this is how it goes. People get confused and they get distracted by the bells and the whistles. At this time of year especially, you're moving into some spaces where you might be considering changes for next year. Maybe you're considering new lifestyle changes to your lifestyle, additions to your family, and how does that affect your current financial plan? Well, you have come to the right place, and Shannon is in studio with us this morning. Hey, Shan, it is so great to be back with you.
Hi, Leah. Good to be back in the studio.
I hear you've been getting some compliments from the word around town in the fact that these sessions have really helped people make simple changes that may have been overlooked in the past because of the confusion, the abundance of confusion that does exist within the financial industry.
Yeah, just chatting to some more people last week that have come up to me and started that were mentioning the show, and they said one of the things that they find quite enjoyable about the show is that I convey the concepts very simply, and that is exactly what I'm striving to achieve. Unfortunately, in the financial services industry, there tends to be a habit of using big words, making everything sound terribly complex, using jargon that people don't understand. And one thing that I want to reiterate, wealth management, financial planning is simple, but not easy.
Yeah.
And it's about having the right habits versus having the right skills.
Right.
Okay. And we just need to continually revisit that. I see more financial plans going astray, not because the people don't have the skills,
yes,
but because they are not instilling the right habits. And one of the biggest that I see scuttling financial plans is the fact that people don't budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's so important to have that budget, have that spending plan. Do not spend more than you earn.
Yeah.
Stay away from debt, because that's the other area where I see financial planning for people fall apart. Mm-hmm. They interrupt the most powerful force in the universe, as Einstein used to call it, and that is compounding growth.
Right.
Okay. And how do they do that? By either A, having debt, where they're having now compounding growth work against them.
Yeah.
Okay. And B, they either not investing enough or not investing early enough. Mm-hmm. In other words, not giving compounding growth time to work for them.
Yes.
And the other point is interrupting the compounding growth process, where they get scared by what's happening in markets, mm-hmm, and step in and try and make changes. Okay. And in last week's episode, we spoke about people intervening in their financial plan, the areas that they should be intervening,
yes,
in, and the areas that they shouldn't be intervening in.
And a word that you mentioned there, and I think this is the basis of all of these, I won't say poor decisions, but decisions nonetheless, is fear. When you feel out of control, when you feel like you are under threat, it's only natural to react. And here we're going against human nature entirely, and we're saying, steer the course, don't do anything.
You hit the nail on the head. As investors, we are not built to be great investors. Mm. We are genetically wired incorrectly, as I've said in the past. We are genetically wired to act on threats.
Yeah.
We are very short-term focused in investing. We need to be long-term focused. Mm. And when I say long-term, I'm talking long-term.
Like long-term 20 isn't years plus.
Well, and that's, I want to give an example now in terms of long-term to give you an indication of what it's all about. Because another area where I see, again, the compounding process not being allowed to work for people is also not having enough exposure to growth assets.
Right.
In other words, shares. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, shares are the ones that are going to beat inflation over time.
But they're also the ones that can be quite volatile.
Absolutely. And volatility scares people.
Mm-hmm.
But one needs to see past that noise. And let's give you a little example here. If I had to come to you and say to you, how would you like an investment that has achieved a 15% growth rate every year for the last 20 years?
Well, because I've been listening to Wealth Wednesdays, I would be very happy with that, because I know that it is beating inflation by quite a considerable amount.
Okay. So inflation plus 8% would give you just about 13% per annum. So at 15% per annum, you are it's actually inflation plus 10%.
Yeah.
So you've beat inflation by 10% per annum for 20 years. That's a fantastic return.
It almost seems too good to be true.
Does seem to be good to be true. And investing, too good to be true, you stay away from. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, this isn't too good to be true. These are the actual returns achieved by some of the oldest equity funds, i.e. that invest only in shares,
okay,
equity unit trust funds in South Africa.
Okay.
These are actual numbers. These are the actual annualized return that they have received for the last 20 years.
Published.
That's it. No smoke and mirrors here. Wow. This is the truth.
Okay.
So
what's the catch?
What is the catch is that the reality is that this is the kind of growth that you could have got. But again, looking back at the behavior gap, mm-hmm, it's not the growth that the average investor gets. Why? Because during that process, there is a lot of ups and downsides. Yeah. And I want to introduce a concept here of rolling returns.
Okay.
And the funnel of what we call funnel of certainty or funnel of probability.
Okay.
In other words, the further you look out, you'll see the closer the return. So the average return for those funds for 20 years was 15% per annum.
Okay.
But now let's take a shorter view. Let's mm-hmm have a look in those 20 year plus, because those funds are older than 20 years. So in the last 20 years, if you had a look at any 1 year period.
Okay.
So any day going back 1 year.
Okay.
The return range or the average return would be 14%. That's yes, great. But the return range could be anything from a minus 31% to a plus 76%.
That is a huge range.
So, absolutely. So, in 1 year, you could have got a 31% plus loss. Okay. And in 1 year, you could have actually got a 76% growth rate.
Yeah. Okay.
But the average 1 year return still over that period is 14%. It's actually 16% rolling 1 year return.
Okay.
Okay, if we now look a little bit further out, and just to come back to that loss, and this is where people lose the confidence to see past the losses. Because, you know, we can talk about a 31% loss, and 31%, it sounds stiff.
Mm.
But when somebody actually looks at their rands and cents, looks at their statement and sees the money, in other words, if they had 100,000 rand invested, at that point in time, they would have had looked at their statement and said, "Oh, I put in 100,000 rand, but I've only got 69,000 rand now."
And these are the stats that are published on your statements. I mean, you're talking rolling returns, you're talking big amounts that you're seeing tickling away, and it's hard. It's hard to look at that statement and, again, do nothing.
That's the thing. The thing is to let somebody now sit past that and focus on the long-term numbers, seeing that we know markets are going to recover.
Yeah.
By looking at that loss of 69,000 rand and you capitulate, you're now taking what we call a paper loss and you're turning it into a real loss. In other words, if you sell out of that fund and you go parking cash,
mm-hmm,
you've now taken that loss and you've turned it into a real loss.
Yes.
But if you had just left it and let it sit tight over time, the returns are going to come back. And just to illustrate that a little bit further, if we look at any rolling 3 year period now, your returns could have been as great as plus 48%
mm-hmm
or as low as minus 10%.
So we see that funnel effect taking place. It's cinching in from both ends.
The returns are getting closer.
Okay.
Any 5 year period, plus 36% to minus 3.7%.
Wow.
If we have a look at any rolling 10 year period, so in other words, during the life of these funds, if you go back and you look 10 years back on any day, 10 years back, 10 years back, 10 years back, your returns could have been as great as 23% or as low as plus 6%.
And now we're in the plus. We're
in the
positive.
So what you will see for any 10-year period in these equity funds, you would have never, ever experienced a negative return.
Okay.
The average over those 10 years, again, 14%. 15 years, best return could have been 19%. Least return could have been 7%. Still a plus number.
Yeah.
Okay. No negative returns. And this is what investors need to understand. Looking at the 20-year numbers, a plus 17% or a plus 10%.
And it's still smoothing out to that 14, 15, 16 range.
The average over those 20 years was 15%.
Yeah. The numbers don't lie.
That's it. The numbers don't lie. But unfortunately, as humans, we are very short-term focused and we are emotive beings.
Mm.
When we have a look at markets now, all these down 10% year to date. S&P 500 is down 20% year to date. Dow down 16% year to date. Those are real numbers. Inflation sitting at 7.8%. Those are real numbers.
Mm.
But though that is noise.
Yeah.
Okay. The reality is that markets are going to recover. When they're going to recover, we don't know.
Yeah.
We're already seeing signs that inflation's moderating. What that means when I say inflation's moderating, it means it's not increasing at the rate it was increasing.
Yes.
Okay. Numbers are tending to flatten out, which is a good thing. But who knows when markets are going to correct. There's lots of talks of recession going to happen.
Mm.
And again, so people think, okay, well, let's climb out of markets
yeah.
in anticipation of the recession. Well, that's a pretty easy call. The hard call comes now when you climb back into markets.
Mm.
And we've seen that in our previous episodes when we spoke about missing just the 10 best days
yes.
in a 20-year period, the substantial impact that had on your outcome. So the bottom line is, one needs to remain long-term focused. But now, emotively, not everybody can handle a
yeah.
loss of 31%.
Of course.
And there are tools out there that make the ride a little bit smoother.
And we'll dive into those tools after a short musical interlude over here by Taylor Swift. Do stay tuned, steer the course with this conversation, and give more meaning to your money with Shannon Clark. You're on Radio Life and Style. Taylor Swift saying breathe. It is 12 minutes to 11 and we're continuing today's conversation, Wealth Wednesdays. You're tuned into Radio Life and Style and we're sitting with our resident CFP, Shannon Clark. We're talking some pretty important money matters, and yes, money may vary infinitely, and you may have thought that you had yourself set, and then Things change in the blink of an eye. But what should not change is your strategy. And if you don't have one just yet, then yes, you should be making some changes. But we simplify these things for you right here on Radio Life and Style because we understand that it can feel like quite a minefield. But that's why we have professionals like Shannon to make these things more attainable. Because believe it or not, your money can work for you with the right strategy in place. Continuing the conversation now, we look at the tools, and I want to say tricks, but more tools and skills that are available to implement. Shan?
Yeah, Leah. So really what we're talking about, as you can see, the opportunity for growth with growth assets like equities is huge. However, the ride can be a bit of a bumpy ride, and not every investor has the appetite to tolerate that ride, or where their investment time horizon is not conducive to being able to take that long-term view, as you see we need to be taking.
I.e. the need is more immediate, perhaps, than what you had planned.
Correct. And that's where the whole thing then comes into this asset allocation discussion, to build an investment portfolio that gives you the diversification, so across different asset classes that are low or no correlation. In other words, when one asset does one thing, in other words, is on an upward trend,
yes,
the other assets that can offset other assets that perhaps are on a downward trend. And that's what we see happens with bonds, your interest-bearing investments compared to equities. There is a low correlation between the two.
So, i.e. you're mitigating risk.
Correct. So, you're smoothing the ride.
Mm.
But it's important to still have exposure to the right amount of growth assets. And that's something that we're going to unpack going forward. This whole concept of blending assets to create diversification, that not all your eggs are in one basket.
Yeah.
That even within asset managers, that you get different investment styles that can be blended together to achieve the same outcome. And that's what we will then unpack in future episodes. But the concept that really we need to get across now is that you've got to, when it comes to investing, attain the right habits, take out those emotions, don't get swayed by the noise in the markets, because that is noise.
Go against your human nature.
And just leave the money and let it earn money babies, i.e. compounding, over time.
The advice is simple. The objective is simple. What is difficult is actually implementing it. So if you feel like you are ready to actually take that step, get hold of Shannon today. It's shannon@wealthology.co.za. Your money matters, and your money journey is completely unique to you. Figure it out. take that action and get hold of him. It's Shannon at wealthology.co.za. And do stay tuned as we unpack more concepts as far as making your money work for you. You are on Radio Life and Style. And Shannon, I look forward to seeing you next week.